We've been talking about Youth Week all week,
rightio? Yeah.
And you remember that we kicked it off with a report pointing out that almost 11,000 tertiary students were homeless last census night.
Yeah, which was a really pretty shocking statistic, actually. Yeah. You've got lots of people sort of sleeping in boarding houses.
Well, they said that was just the tip of the iceberg. This is young people, this is tertiary students trying to get through TAFE or uni and couch surfing. Well, here we are at the end of the week of Youth Week.
Yeah.
A major report's about to be launched by the think tank CEDA. Have you heard of them? They're the Committee for Economic Development Australia, and they're looking at how unequal Australia is. And there's a few patterns emerging here. The younger generation, around the 20-somethings, they have more disposable income compared to developed countries, but their wealth has grown, as we know now, much, much more slowly than the older generations. Let's talk to Kirsty Nowlan. Kirsty, she's the Executive Director of the Strategic Engagement Research and Advocacy with the Benevolent Society. She's going to be speaking at the launch of this report today. Hello, Kirsty.
Good morning.
Morning to you. Yeah, so tell us about this report. How was it put together? How were the stats compiled? What has happened to that phone? That's just no good at all.
Sorry, Kirsty, just try again.
So the report speaks to several aspects of inequality. It looks at income inequality, educational inequality, the gender gap, and what's happening intergenerationally, and then ends with what's happening with technology. So different authors have come together, largely from universities across Australia, to try and give us a picture of what inequality looks like.
And what did you find?
Well, we found some uncomfortable truths. For a society that kind of likes to think of itself as egalitarian, the reality is that we score as above average in terms of inequality in Australia relative to other rich countries. And while that's kind of gives us a global picture, when you lift the lid on that, you start to find some deeply concerning challenges within the country that we really need to think about addressing. So the first of those does relate to the kind of young people, and particularly to young people in school. One of the most concerning findings of the report for me is that the educational inequalities between kids who are going to school in low socioeconomic environments and kids who are going to school in kind of, not to put too fine a point on it, rich suburbs, relates to a 4.5-year advantage for those who come from the kind of the richer context by year nine. So by year five, at year five, it's about 2.5 years difference, but then that just gets compounded. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about the prospects for young people to break out of that, they really do start behind the eight ball.
Kirsty, can you give us an idea of how the trajectory has tracked over the last few decades? I mean, if we're talking about some of this inequality between the generations, how has that changed over the last few decades?
Yeah, there's some really interesting findings in the report. So we know that broadly there is an increase in the trajectory of inequality in Australia from the 1980s to today. That's been slowing down since the global financial crisis, so since 2008, but there is an increase. Intergenerationally, what's happening is, as Wendy said in her introduction, there's a disconnect between the fact that incomes for younger people are rising, and there's something unique happening in Australia here. So people who are aged 25 to 29 have had a 27% increase in earnings as against the average increase in earnings. Mm-hmm. So they're doing better than the average in terms of their income. But at the same time, as we well know, particularly those of us in Sydney, there's another change, which is that steep rise in the cost and affordability of housing or lack of affordability of housing. And so that has shifted wealth towards the older generation.
Okay.
So we have that decline in access to home ownership and a really steady increase in young people who are over-indebted.
Mm-hmm.
So there are now 30% of people in that cohort who are carrying a dangerous level of debt.
30%, that's quite shocking. Look, we pause here to introduce our next guest, if you'll stay with us there, Kirsty. John Owen is the assistant pastor of, and as of July 1, the incoming CEO of the Wayside Chapel in Woolloomooloo. Hello there, John.
Good morning, Wendy.
And congratulations on your upcoming appointment. I wonder, we probably are giving you your first radio interview in your capacity as CEO of Wayside Chapel, I hope. I hope we're first off the blocks. Tell me about these figures that you're hearing here. Any surprises for you?
Unfortunately, there are no surprises there. You know, but prior to joining the Wayside Chapel, my previous work was working and living in disadvantaged communities in Melbourne, in Springvale, and then out in the western suburbs in Mount Druitt for a decade. So all this research certainly rings true that, yeah, despite 26 years of economic growth, we still have social inequalities persisting, particularly related to suburban postcode-based disadvantage.
Yeah. Now, John, what drew you to this area of work for you personally? I mean, give us an idea of why you want to roll your sleeves up and be in amongst it so close to the coalface.
Well, you know, I'm an immigrant from Malaysia, Indian Sri Lankan background, and very early on in as a migrant, this country gave us wonderful opportunities, and as I was beginning to grow and enter into university and take advantage of all the opportunities presented before me, I looked over my shoulder and saw that many Australians were being left behind on this same track that I was being advanced on. So I thought, I'll do this for a couple of years and try and give back to the community. And I kind of just got hooked by it all. And 20-plus years later, here I am.
Wow.
Well, where are we going wrong here, John? We hear there that things are not getting any better at all. What's the pointy end? Where would you insert yourself in this whole problem?
Oh, well, you know, Kirsty said it very well. You know, we kind of have this myth that we're an equal society where it starts from a level playing field. But let me tell you, when live in Mount Druitt for a few years and you see someone growing up as a seventh child in a family where there's, long-term generational unemployment, you know that they're not starting from the same position as someone else. And often, we laugh politically when our leaders tend to suggest that we build walls between countries to keep people out. But, you know, I think those, and we're pretty clever in Australia, we don't have a wall, we actually have a moat. But here, I think that most inequality begins in our hearts, and it's the things that divide us. So if I were to insert myself anywhere, is to say, look, when a child, and I've met so many people who have grown up in disadvantaged neighbourhoods who have worked really hard and managed to create beautiful lives for themselves, and pretty amazing, but it was always related to getting opportunities and to meet people. When kids who were in Mount Druitt think about what they want to be in the future, their horizon of possibility is set by their community. So they don't look out, they look around them.
Yep.
And so they will look around and say, who's doing and who is living in the way that I want to live? And I just think that if we as Australians can get involved, develop more relationships, bring down some of those barriers in our own hearts, and be able to look at others in our community and build relationships with them, then their horizons of possibility will change. And let me tell you, from my experience too, is, you know, we'll become better at this being
all right.
Human.
Well, both you and Kirsty, it's interesting, are talking about very, you know, disadvantaged postcodes and divides. And we've been talking a little bit lately, over the past week or so, about class. There's some very interesting essays about class around at the moment. I think Tim Winton wrote an interesting one. Kirsty, we do like to pride ourselves as being egalitarian. You're painting a picture here that says we're anything but.
The reality is that disadvantage in Australia is incredibly concentrated. So this is both incredibly positive because it means that we know where the problems are and we should be able to go there and find some solutions. The challenge is, of course, that when we get to those places, it's complex, it's difficult, and it's hard work. But surely, as a country, we've got both the kind of the smarts and the resources to crack what is one of the most significant problems facing us. Yeah. So in New South Wales, 5.5% of those kind of those postcode level areas have 50% of that profound level of inequality.
Rightio. Yeah, by the way, the essay I'm talking about is called The C Word, Some Thoughts About Class in Australia. It's in the monthly and it is by Tim Winton. It's a really good read. I guess that's it, isn't it, John? I guess it's the C word. We don't hear it talked about a lot in Australia, but you, I guess, would like to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing that I noticed when we moved to Sydney a decade ago is the class divisions are far more prevalent than any other state in Australia.
Is that right?
You know, very early on when you move to Sydney, you hear what I call a Sydney conversation, which is within the first three questions, what will be asked is, and where are you from? And what that means in Australia is, you know, our class is set by our geographical area as well. You know, and we all like to tell jokes about one another, don't we? Like, you know, this is the Westies talk about the people from the Shire in a certain way, or talk about the people from the Northern Beaches in a certain way.
Well, we have the latte line, of course, don't we?
We do have the latte line. We have the Anzac Bridge where you need a passport to get over, apparently. You know, and but it's very much, you know, where do I put you? Which box do I fit you in? And reality is, you know, that's a good old laugh of a conversation. But how that does impact is when I see young kids from the western suburbs making it into universities, you know, working really hard to advance themselves in life, and then they end up at university, and you know, pretty soon that conversation occurs, and then they get kind of further pushed to the side in their class, you know, by virtue of the fact that people say, "Oh, you're from the western suburbs, so you know, are your family all Westies and Bogans, and do you eat buffets?" You know, and you know, and those kinds of things that I've seen have a real impact to the point where I've seen so many students just drop out because the pressure is too great upon them.
Well, you're painting a pretty grim picture there. Look, but as you say, you know, something that we're growing awareness of at least. Look, we thank you very much both for you joining us today. Thank you, Pastor John Owen, who will be soon the CEO of the Wayside Chapel. Thank you to you, John.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And Kirsty Nolan, you'll be hearing from her today. She's the Executive Director of Strategic Engagement Research and Advocacy with the Benevolent Society, and there's this launch of this major report into inequality in Australia from this think tank CEDA, the Committee for Economic Development Australia, and they're asking just how unequal Australia is. You'll be hearing a lot more of this report, I'm imagining. Thank you very much to you, Kirsty.
Thank you.